Welcome back, fabulous. I am so excited today. I am talking to my friend Heather Zeitzwolf, and she is so amazing. And I do need to give you a little apology because we got so into this conversation and it brought me right back to the 80s. And I say the words, you know, a lot of times. And it's one of those editing things I'm fighting with. So I'm leaving it in, but you know, it's how I used to talk. So there you go. She is a fireball. And we both have a very unique way of dressing. It's very different from each other, but we've made it work for our businesses and we've made it work in our lives. And I used to be afraid of expressing myself through clothes once I got to be an adult. And I just want you to know that you can be you. And she and I are both really comfortable in who we are with this personal brand. And whether you have a company or not, finding your comfort level and your excitement again in your wardrobe is so, so important. And also, if you're interested in money and taxes and getting those things done, Heather's your girl. So stay tuned, check her out, and this is going to be amazing. Hey, Heather, thank you so much for coming to join me today. Oh, my goodness.
Thank you so much. I'm very excited to be here. You know, I mean, we had some tech issues, but you know, that always happens in the world of podcasting. It wouldn't be a podcast if you didn't have tech issues, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And you're so flexible. And I love that. Thank you very much for being, we've just been all over the digital universe today. Thank you for that. Oh my goodness. It's just because of my love of weird software. That's what it is. I just can't Zoom. I can't. It's just too normal. I guess. I don't know. Whatever.
You know, and I love buying software, AppSumo. Oh my God. I've gone down that rabbit hole so many times. And so I'm always trying out new things too. And yeah, then I end up just going back to Zoom. So anyways.
Yeah. See, this is from AppSumo. And I love this. And the guy who founded it, he will talk to you if you have an issue. It's wonderful. So,
wow. Okay.
There we go. Well, I wanted to talk because your sense of style, it is off the chart. And I love it so much. And I wanted to talk because I thought, you know, I have this personal brand that's, you know, I'm teetering on the edge of, you know, tacky and glittery. And I know I pass it. And that's okay. You know, my daughter is mortified, completely mortified, not by your style. She loves your style, but mine is over the top. Okay. But I guess.
And how old is your daughter? How old is your daughter?
14. That's why.
14. Okay. So I have that appeal for 14-year-olds. This is good to know. Okay. Yes.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Hmm.
So, I wonder, but I like, you know, I like glittery and tacky and, you know, my mom, you know, she would always wear those like glittery baseball hats and things like that. I'm like, oh, when I get older, I can wear that kind of stuff. And then I'm like, you know what? I can wear that now. I'm not, you know, I'm in my 50s. You're in your 50s. But why can't we wear glitter and all that stuff? You don't have to be retired to wear that. But I think maybe it's my punk rock sensibility that's also meshing in there that maybe that's what appeals to your daughter. I'm not sure. I'd like to know.
A little more cooler. You know, mom's just not cool right now, I guess. I don't know. I don't know. And I was full on punk in high school and stuff. Oh my gosh. And so I love it. I still have my docs somewhere from back before, you know, before they were like mainstream. You know?
Yeah. Now, did you live in Florida as a teenager?
I lived in LA as a teenager.
Okay. That's why you were cool. Okay. Because I lived as a teenager in Florida and I was the weird kid in my high school. So I graduated in 86 and kids would like, yeah, I thought yeah, so. No. Yeah. Yeah. Kids would tease me. I was always called Cindy Lauper. Like that was like, you know, and that's not an insult. You know, I mean, I love Cindy Lauper. Actually, somebody. Yeah. Yeah. And somebody actually thought I was Cindy Lauper when at FinCon, I went into a shop in New Orleans and the guy came that was running the store. He came up to me. He's like, oh my God, I thought you were Cindy Lauper. I was like, oh, thanks. Okay. So
that's pretty cool. Well, you know, because you can pull it off. And I think that's the thing is that there's not a lot of people that can pull off what you can pull off. And I think, you know, that's another thing about women over a certain age. Like, oh my gosh, when I was 30, my ex sister-in-law told me, you know, when you're 40, you have to cut your hair short and you can never have it long again.
What?
And I'm like, okay, no, these rules will not apply to me. I love it when women have that long gray hair. I think it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
This whole thing about, you know, you have to have this like short perm deal. I think that's going to stop with Gen X. I really do.
Yeah.
And not that that's not okay if that's your style, right? Just right. That we shouldn't have to have polyester and short hair. Like, that shouldn't be what we have to do.
No, but I do like some polyester once in a while. But, you know, a poly blend, let's say. Doesn't have to be 100% poly.
Okay, but I'm thinking, you know what I'm thinking, those pants. You
know, oh, yeah, the pants. Yeah.
They're comfortable. They're not plastic.
No.
That's what I'm talking.
Yeah, growing up, I had this neighbor in Florida. Her name was Maxine, and she'd always wear the polyester pants. And then the little top that always... It almost looked like a leisure suit kind of top. I don't know how to describe it, with the big buttons and the big collar. And this was in the 80s. She's still wearing this stuff. And so I'd call it the Maxine look. And like my mom would always, I'd be like, we'd go into stores and be like, oh my God, look, there's the Maxine look. My mom would give me, you know, like rib me in my, you know, so anyways, yes. I don't want to have the Maxine look. No.
And now have you, Harry, your sense of style, has it been the same? As you've been, I mean, obviously it changes a little bit, but have you always been, I guess the word is like comfortable just being yourself, no matter what that means? Cause I have not.
So. Yeah. You know, it's gone, it changed over the years. So when I was a kid, I was always the weird kid. I've always been into strange things. My mom, growing up, we had a lot of costumes in the house. We were really into Halloween. So that was always encouraged. So, you know, you look at family photos, we're always in costumes. Like, it's just like people come over like, hey, let's put on some costumes and stand in the yard and take pictures. I don't know. But that's how I grew up. And then in high school in the 80s, I was like super into fashion. I ended up going to fashion design school. But then over the years, you know, you have people that say, like, you're too weird looking. Your skirts are too short. You're too flashy. Why are you wearing hot pants? Like this and that. And, like, you hear all these things. And then when I went into the professional world, oh my God, this is so depressing, Jen. I got rid of a whole bunch of goth clothes that I had and I gave it to a local charity. And it was so sad. I started wearing things from The Gap and J. Crew. And now I cringe at the idea that I actually did that. But I felt like to be taken seriously, I had to do that kind of thing. But I never went down the khaki route. Now, if khakis are your thing, that's fine. But I was like, if I ever have to wear a pair of khakis, like I almost quit a job because they almost threatened that we had to wear khakis for a uniform. And so, yeah. But then as I got back into like my 40s, you know, it changed. And then I went back to school to study accounting. And then I had dreads at the time and I got rid of them because they told me like, well, you can't interview with accounting firms if you got hair like that. So I've gone through stages, but now that I'm in my 50s, I'm like, I'm going to just do me.
Yeah. See, I love that. I love it. See, and I went through a long period of time where I just looked like crap, honestly.
Oh.
And it was really weird. And we actually got back from Podfest this last time and I had felt really good because I finally like have my style back and I've got it. Like I'm just myself again. And
yeah.
I was thinking, what happened? Like why did I don't know. And you know, it hit me. There was two different things people said to me right around the time I started having kids and they stuck in my head and became a truth, which is, oh, a big thing for me talking to my kids about, you know, your words matter. They matter so much because somebody told me that I was frumpy and someone else told me I didn't deserve to have nice clothes. And somehow I wove those together in my mind and I have dressed like crap for like 2.5 decades. And I realized those are just lies. And who were those people? They weren't very nice anyway. And so I absolutely deserve to have nice clothes and I am not frumpy. What the heck? I must have been really in a, well, I was in a really poop place and they just, I don't know, became truth. So.
Yeah. Isn't that sad? Yeah. It's so sad how like, you know, being injured by somebody like physically, yes, that can leave long-term effects, you know, and, you know, thinking about it, but, you know, bruises heal. And I mean, any kind of violence is terrible. But when people say something to you, that can just like play over and over and over in your brain. And it's amazing that we let something that's just words affect us like someone like punching us or something. Like it's like can have the same kind of like long-term effect of like, okay, yeah. I've tried to get rid of those voices as much as I can as the older I've gotten. But Yeah. But, you know, then we replace things with other things. So like, yes, people say like, you're loud, you're this or that, you know, and it's like, okay. And then I kind of tried to tone that down. But now in my 50s, I decided, okay, I'm going to start my own business. You know, all that chatter of like, who are you to start a business? You know, all that crap. But now I think that it's my own inner dialogue that gets me the most rather than the outside dialogue. So it's like that imposter syndrome thing kind of kicks in. So we're always dealing with voices, whether they're external or internal. And, you know, so, yeah, it's weird. There's physical harm. And then there's just like that mental harm of just like, ugh, the words. I don't know.
And it's interesting because when we were kids, people would say sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And I think it's like your bones will heal. I don't know. There's things that people tell to kids that mess them up, you know? So,
well, but I just, yeah.
And then that's why I wanted to talk to you, because I thought, okay, you know what? Because you clearly are just, you know, like, you've got this, you've got it. And from the outside, I know we all feel that imposter thing a little bit on the inside, right? But on the outside, and I think, you know, you're successful at business and you choose to dress how you want and look how you want and do what you want. And so I wanted to talk about that a little, because I think there's other women that need to hear how you make that work. And that it does work, because I think a lot of people are like, oh yeah, if I don't wear the khakis and the sweater, no one's going to buy my product. No one's going to, you know, whatever. And that doesn't, no, because that is your brand, right? That is your personal brand, is being you.
Exactly. And when I wasn't stepping into myself, who I am, I was just, you know, I was trying to blend in. And really, in business, you don't want to do that. You don't want to blend in, because then it just becomes like you're just like everybody else. And when I started my accounting business, at first I was like, okay, well, I better look normal, you know, and I would meet clients in person and put on a little suit, and it just never felt authentic to me. I mean, granted, they are suits for my closet and I picked them out and they are cute, but it's not like how I feel on a daily basis. Like, to me, it was like putting on a costume, but not a good costume, you know. So a more expensive costume, maybe, that uncomfortable, buttoned up, all that kind of stuff. But I had a client that was a marketer who finally, we would chat on the phone. She never saw me in person, and she was a referral. And then we finally met in Zoom because it was the pandemic. And she's like, oh my God, you have pink hair. I didn't even know. And I was like, yeah. And she's like, had I known, I would have been more comfortable talking to you this whole time. I just like had that vision of like what an accountant looked like. And she, you know, she thought that's what I look like, because I didn't have pictures of myself on my website. I was like, you know, I was using stock photography, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And she's like, you are what makes your brand. She's like, you need to step into that. And so I took that to heart and I was like, okay, I'm redoing everything. And I started, you know, putting my picture out there. I said, told people I was a vegan, you know, like I just, you know, went all out, and it really has attracted the right kind of people to me. So I was, you know, I mean, I was getting people before, but now it's like, you know, I work mainly with creatives, and I think, you know, they see that, okay, she's not the button up type. She's not going to be all like boring and rude, or I'm not trying to stereotype accountants, but they do get kind of thrown under the bus that they're, you know, boring types.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, there's definitely somebody that you picture when you hear the word accountant, you know, and it's not what I'm looking at right now. But I think that's a good thing, right? I think that's a good thing. And so now do men come to you to work, or is it mostly women?
I do have male clients. So I put it out there that I mainly work with female entrepreneurs. You know, the thing, Jen, is that, you know, we're in our 50s. We are Gen Xers. I love, you know, younger people and everything, but I really kind of bond with the women that are in our age group, because I understand where they're coming from, wanting to start a business in their 50s. So I mainly work with, you know, women that are like, you know, later in life, that maybe have worked in corporate and now they're like, hey, this is my time now to try my own thing, or I don't want to retire. Like, oh, that sounds horrible, you know. So I even have clients that are in their 70s and pushing 80, you know. I think it's awesome, because to me, the idea of like retiring just seems so boring. And, you know, I'm so curious all the time. So there's always seems like there's going to be new things. Like, I can't imagine like just like retiring and like watching TV and not doing anything. So yes. So I mainly you know, jibe with the ladies in my age group, but I do have clients that are male, a lot of creatives in that field, you know, in that realm, and I have some younger clients, but yeah, I mean, you know, I think we attract who we are mainly as entrepreneurs. Well, what about you, Jen? What do you think?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Yeah. And I love people who are younger. I mean, obviously, but it's different when people, because I have older kids, I have, you know, from 12 to 34. So when I have a comfort level with people my age. And it's interesting because I'm not around them very often at all, because, you know, you usually hang around with your kids' friends' parent, you know, like that kind of a thing. And so they're all the age of my older kids. And it's strange.
Oh. I don't have kids. I don't have kids, so I don't have that. I don't have that issue. Like I hang around with all Gen Xers that don't have kids. That like they just play games.
Yeah. Well, we play a lot of games, but with children, yeah. And so it's been a really interesting thing because the millennials don't tend to want to be around people who are their parents' age, and so it's been real interesting. So I'm loving my work and my business and being able to work with people that are my age and older. I love it so much because I think, you know, and especially like you were saying, there's a lot of women around this age where, you know, they've done the thing, they've done the corporate thing, they've done what was expected of them. They've done what everyone told them was rational and reasonable and acceptable. And now they're like, forget that. I want to do what I wanted to do. Everyone told me I couldn't be an artist because it wouldn't make me the money, but I'm good at art. I want to do that now. Or, you know, all those things that we were told were worthless that are not worthless. You know,
yeah.
They're the things that people have talents in. And I think it's really a gift to be able to encourage people to go into those things, especially, you know, when you're at this point in life and you can afford it, you've got money put aside, you could retire. But you don't want to retire. You want to do what you want to do, you know? And I think that is so incredible.
Yeah. And, you know, the workplace used to be a different beast. You know, women were treated much differently. I mean, I'm not in an office now, thank goodness, but I would imagine that there'd be more respect for women in the office place. But, you know, there was like sexual harassment. There was, you know, this belittling of women. We weren't paid as much. There was just so much that happened over the years. And like all that like indoctrination of that behavior of like, oh, okay, I guess that's just how it is. You know, that's how the world works. And now with like the Me Too movement and all these things, it's like, yeah, all right, now we can be the force that we deserve to be. And you know, the funny thing is now it's like the reversal. Like there's more women in college, there's more women in the workplace, and we're like, yes, we're doing it. And one other thing I wanted to mention about like the younger people versus the older people, I have to say though that, you know, people that are my age, they get my jokes better. So I'll reference something and they have no idea what I'm talking about. So yeah, I was talking to somebody at one point when I went back to school to study accounting, and I mentioned Wayne's World, and they had no idea what I was talking about. And that was like 15 years ago when I was back in school. And it's like, seriously, Wayne's World? You don't even know what Wayne's World is? It's like, am I that old? I don't think so. But
yeah. Yeah. Cause it's not that. Yeah. It's not that old. It's funny because I actually just put an ad together for a new mastermind I'm doing. And I have Wayne's World in there. I'm like, if you remember, you know, whatever, when the only time you could have a show is if you were on cable. That was the thing.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Cable access. Yeah.
And that was their whole thing. Yeah. But I also have a dial-up telephone in there. And then Radio Shack. I don't know if you remember, they had a little handheld radio. That was a big deal. And then they came out in colors. And it was like, the world was like a better place because you could get your own color radio. My gosh.
Oh my God. One of my favorite things growing up was my tape recorder. It probably came from Radio Shack. I loved how like, they tried to rebrand themselves as The Shack. Like that did not work. And then they went out of business. But I had one of those tape recorders, you know, that you like, it was like a block. It was like a rectangle block. And then you press the buttons. And I used to record, oh my God. I loved like Sha Na Na. I was like really into like Shirley Temple movies. Like, and so there was before VCRs. So I would tape the shows, you know, hold my little Radio Shack recorder up to the television with my cheap cassettes that I would get in like a 3-pack that didn't even have the case, you know, and then record stuff. And of course, my mom would always be like, how they're getting here, do the dishes, you know, and be like, Mom, you're ruining my recording. You know, it's like, yeah, those are the days of, yeah. So,
Right. I know. See, you were meant to be a podcaster. You were even doing things like that back then. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Those things. And yeah, tape recording things. And then a song would come on the radio and you'd have to hit record right away because, you know, it wasn't like now. And it's so funny because we have family night every Friday and we try to watch movies with our kids and we're trying to have them watch the oldies that are the movies from the 90s. They're not even from when we were kids. And our kids are like, they're so old. They're so boring. I'm like, your siblings watch these. Cut it out. But they, if they don't absolutely love it in the first minute, they leave. They walk out of the room because they have so many options. They can watch whatever they want, whenever they want. And I'm thinking, gosh, when we were kids, if there was something that you a quarter of the way wanted to watch, you were thrilled to death. Because you could stand it. Like that was the only thing, right? Can I stand it or not stand it? And if I can stand it, it's going to be on.
I think that's why those sitcoms in the 80s stayed on. Because we didn't have a lot of alternatives. And
we didn't.
And I was just talking to somebody the other day how like certain, like I had a VCR. That was a big deal when I had a VCR. But other people had to rent VCRs. Like you'd go to the video store, like you'd get like Friday night, you'd rent the VCR and you'd get a few movies. That was, and it had to always rewind them too, even if you rented the machine.
Rewind. So. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Isn't that wild? I mean, the things that our whole lives were built on, you know, and I was talking to my kids and they, one of them came home from a class and said, you know, one of the older people was saying that they wish there were no cell phones. Do you wish there were no cell phones? And I said, heck yeah, because we knew our friends better. And she said, how would you possibly know your friends better? You couldn't text all day. And I said, but you know, you had to know exactly what your friend's schedule was like every single day. Because if I want to call you, I need to know, like, you're going to go to your aunt and uncle's from 3 to 4:30, and then you're going to go to the store until 5. And then you're going to be home from 5 to 6. And that's when I can call because at 6 you're leaving. You know, like we knew what everyone did. And
yeah,
you don't have to know what anyone's doing. You can just, you know, and they're so short, the tech. I don't know. I mean, I do text, obviously, because I live in this millennium, but I feel like we knew everybody so much better. You know?
Yeah. And also we weren't under the helicopter of our parents. I can't even imagine what that would be like for kids. I mean, yes, if I was a parent, I admit I would want to know where my kid is at. But from a kid's perspective, like I would just like walk down a Walgreens and look at magazines and, you know, go over to a friend's house. You know, we used to just like do things on our own. And now, I mean, I guess you wouldn't let a kid do those things, but yeah, it's strange. I think that we grew up in a time that was a really good time to be a kid, where nowadays with social media, I feel so bad for kids because, like, I mean, I was teased because I was a weird kid and I was scrawny, I pale, you know, I was always an easy target. And yes, I had resilience and I like did not let a lot of this stuff bother me because, I mean, kids would trip me in the halls. I mean, it was just like, you know, it happens when you're a nerd, that just happens, but it's over with. It's not recorded. Like now, oh my God, could you imagine? Like they record that stuff and then they taunt you online and oh, it's just terrible. Oh.
Any mistake you make is there for like forever, for all of eternity, you know? And I think of all the dumb things I did in high school. Thank God nobody recorded those things. I don't want them coming back to haunt me, you know? And yeah, when I was a kid, and granted, this is probably a lot, but when I was 14, the age of my daughter now, I would go walk to where the bus was, take a bus for an hour to the beach, spend the day at the beach, take the bus home by myself and come home. And nobody thought anything about that. Like that was normal. I would not send my daughter on a bus for an hour into Orlando to go. I don't know. Yeah, it's a whole different place. And that's the thing, though, about talking to people who are older. You know, my grandma, oh my gosh, she was a hoot. She was a firecracker. And she would not, when she was in her 60s, talk to anyone or have any friends under 40 or over 40. They all had to be under 40 because she never wanted to get old and she just wanted to stay. But I think things were so different then. You know, it was so much more relatable, I think, now. And it's kind of sad in a way that things are so different. You know, age-wise and politics-wise, and like everything is, there seem to be these like boundaries everywhere. I don't know. It makes it harder, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And people, they have a tendency to put people in boxes of like, oh, well, you're that, you're, you know, you're conservative or you're this or that. And it's like, people are more complex than checking off one box. You know, that's, there's more to it. That's one of the reasons why I love podcasting, is because podcasting, you can say whatever you want. It's like, it's that, I don't want to say Wild West, but it's like, you know, we don't have to worry about censorship and all that kind of stuff. I mean, granted, if you have got kids listening or something, you might want to, but, you know, I mean, we can say what we want, because this is freedom of speech. And yeah, anyways, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I love it. That's what I love about it too. And yeah, I may not let my kids listen to something, but I'm glad that the person can say it, because I think we should be able to say, you know, and not like, you know, on certain video channels where they cut you off when you can, when you start. You know, and it is a little Wild Westy, but not in a bad way, you know, not in a shoot 'em up way, just in a, you know, yeah. And I really appreciate it. And then we can, you know, we can be us, which I think, you know, and what's funny is, you know, you were saying about being a nerd and getting teased, and I was tall. I was the tallest person all the time. But I did not like to fight people, and people thought that that was, you know, a sign of weakness apparently. And so I had the same, you know, hard time, but now being a nerd, that's the cool thing. Which is, you know, and so I keep telling my kids, you're weird, you're nerds, but that's okay, because, you know, look at all the people that were nerds and now look where they are now. So it's going to work out just fine.
Yeah. Revenge of the nerds. They, you know, it's amazing how, like, it's funny, you know, like nowadays, like young people would be like, oh yeah, I'm such a nerd, or I'm such a geek. And it's like, seriously, like, I mean, okay. Like it's not the stereotype that it used to be before, you know, like with the pocket protectors and all that kind of stuff. Although I think that's kind of fun, but yes. So now I think people that just like follow Star Wars is considered a geek or nerd or something. Someone the other day was trying to tell me that there's a difference between geek and nerd. And I don't know, I use them interchangeably, but.
I do too. Yeah. There's some sort of hierarchy. I don't know what it is either, but I feel like you rarely have to be a nerd if you're into the witches, which. I mean, I think that puts you back to that old school level of no, just don't worry about that sort of thing. But
so, Jen, I got to ask you. So you wore docs in high school. So you were into the punk. What bands did you like The Clash? Like what kind of bands were you into?
Suicidal Tendencies, Social Distortion.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's like the LA scene, right? Suicidal Tendencies. Yeah. Okay.
And we actually got to go see Social, which one, I don't know. Now I'm spacing out. And I took my husband when we lived in Nashville, and it was the saddest thing you've ever seen. Because the guy gets up there and he's like, all of our friends are dead. I don't know what we did to live this long. We shouldn't even be here. And I'm like, oh God, I didn't expect this. Like, come on, man. Like, you know, we're here. We've all made it. Let's just, you know, like rock, like, you know, and I mean, the music was, it was good, but it was just not what I expected.
Oh, wow.
Up there. But, you know, I mean, they have lost a lot, you know, there's a lot of people that got lost in that scene because, you know, there was a lot going on out there in LA back in the day. But yeah, it was a cool time to be, I mean, you know, and I used to tell my kids, I grew up in LA in the 80s. There is nothing you and your friends could do that we did not do. No longer true. The world has changed. But it was a really fun time to be a teenager. A really cool place, I think, you know?
Wow. Yeah, I think, trying to remember the zine, I think it was called Maximum Rock and Roll, was like a punk magazine that, like, I'd always read about, like, Suicidal Tendencies and Minor Threat and all these bands. But yes. And then I saw recently, well, this is probably a few years ago, Johnny Rotten, who goes by Johnny Lydon, Pill, he's in that band Pill. And one year we saw him and he was just tremendous. It was like one of the best shows I've ever seen. And then we saw him again and poor guy is like sitting on a stool the entire time. He never got up. And it was like, he was kind of, you know, larger, you know, I mean, that happens in life, you know, and I know that he had a wife that passed away and stuff. So anyways, it just was not the same, like sitting Johnny Rotten on a stool, like, no.
Yeah.
Time to just not go on tour. Right?
Yeah. And it was Social Distortion. Now that he's like,
oh, okay.
Yeah. It's not the same. You know, there are certain things that we can bring into aging, and there's certain things like seeing an 80-year-old rock star. Sometimes it's time put the guitar down. I don't know. I mean, not forever, but just, I don't know. Like, some of it just is depressing. I think.
You know who's still really good is Deborah Harry. I saw her. Let's see. When was I saw Blondie? I guess, you know, it's so funny. Okay. So when you get older, like something that's like 10 years ago seems like it was like, oh yeah, I just saw them. Like that's how I am. Like I'm thinking about it. It's like, oh, maybe that was about 10 years ago, but it just seems like it was like a few years ago. And I'm so bad with this that like, I'll have to like Tylenol and it'll be from like 2012. I'll be like, oh, it's still good. You know, it's like, it wasn't that long ago. And people are like horrified. Now, food, I would not give that to somebody else. But 2012, Tylenol, it doesn't seem that long ago, was it?
Is that that long ago? And there's so much crap in that. That's going to last forever. Right? God. That's so funny. Oh, my gosh. And the things they used to do. This is crazy. This is, you know, the things that we used to, I don't know. It's just so weird. Like medicine and all that. It's all. So,
well, speaking of Tylenol, remember the whole Tylenol thing that happened when we were kids that like, because they never put any sealer on it. And that whole thing, you know, changed everything where, and kids, if you don't know what we're talking about, Google it. Or I think there actually was a documentary or something about that recently. Well,
changed the way they produce medicine and like market medicine, you know, with the seals and all that kind of stuff on it.
Yeah, crazy. But, you know, and kids today, oh, my God. So, like, the gun violence in school, like, that is just, I mean, as a kid in Florida, like, we used to get bomb threats, and I'm, like, air quoting bomb threats, and it would always be, like, some kid that, you know, would call in, and then make us all go outside, and they check all the lockers and stuff. But they would do it, like, when we were taking midterms or something like that. And so
they wanted to get out of a test.
But getting back to the 80s, so 1984, they did make a movie that came out in 1984 with Eurythmics doing the soundtrack, which was really good.
Yeah, oh, the Eurythmics. Oh, you know what? When we hang up, I'm going to go play a whole list of 80s songs. I'm so excited. Looking at you. Oh, my gosh. And I love this jacket. Okay, if you're just listening to the show, it is... What color is this jacket? It's
a sparkly fuchsia, I guess. Okay. So, Jen, I got to tell you what my hookup is. So, I am an Amazon reviewer. I'm a Vine reviewer. And so, I can go online, order certain things, and then I just have to review them. And so, when I first started off, and people are like, when they hear about this, they're like, I want to do this. And it's like, oh, you have to be chosen. So, I was one of the chosen ones. I'm not really sure how I was chosen, but... maybe because I did do a lot of reviews and order from Amazon, but I got this for free. So I do have to pay tax on the fair market value of the item. So I got this headband from them, the hair extensions that are in my hair right now, all from Amazon. I ordered all of that from Amazon. And yes, so very cool. I get a lot of stuff for free, but got to pay the tax on it. So it's almost like it's self-employment tax that I pay on it. But
that's amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing. And so this shiny jacket. So it's not everything on Amazon. People are always like, oh my God, you can order anything. And it's like, no, every day it's like a database of things. You click on it and you kind of like cross your fingers, hoping that it will go through. And like they had the other day, I went on there and they had those walking treadmill things that go under your desk. And I was like, oh my God, I need one of those. I clicked on it and it wouldn't let me order it. And then I saw another one and I couldn't order it. So I didn't get that, but recently I did get a massage table that's a pink massage table, like a portable pink massage table. So I still need to review that one. But yeah, so I get all kinds of interesting things from Amazon. So it has helped me up my wardrobe game.
Oh, yeah, that is so cool. Yeah, that's really, I like it. I like it a lot. Yeah, and you had a jacket at Podfest too. And I don't even remember, I just remember that I wanted it so bad.
Oh, it was probably the sparkly one. That one with the sequins. That one I got from Amazon as well. So you can order it. You can probably search me on Amazon and find all the reviews I've done of things. I've done hundreds of reviews on Amazon. So I think they're searchable. I would think so. But
I would think so. Yeah. All right. Well, that sounds really cool. Well, probably time to wrap it up. And if somebody wants to find you, they're looking for somebody for their business. Where can they find you?
So the easiest place to find me would be Instagram. I'm not that active on Instagram, but my handle. One, what was it? Remember like back, okay, I'm dating myself again, but in the 70s, we had Smoking the Bandit. Remember, it's like, what's your handle? I always think of that, Smoking the Bandit. And we'd be like, toot, toot, with the trucks. Remember, that was like such a big deal. Oh, okay. Yeah, that was back when action movies were not Marvel movies. They were Smokey and the Bandit, you know. So anyways, okay, so the easiest place to find me, my handle on Instagram is GetRadBiz, B-I-Z. So like Get Radical, GetRadBiz. And then you can find, you can send me an email at heather@getradbiz.com. So
very cool. And I'll have links in the show notes.
Oh, awesome.
That's great. Well, thank you so much. This has been an amazing trip down memory lane. I love it so much. Thank you again.
Well, thanks for having me. I guess we have to wrap up, but you know, we didn't talk that much about fashion, but we can talk about fashion maybe another time.
Well, yeah, we need to do that again because I think we need to continue this conversation.
I love it. I love walking down memory lane.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been really, really nice. All right. Well, thank you so much. We'll talk soon. I love Heather so much. And I love how Heather she is. And what I mean by that is unapologetically herself and just fun and silly, but still the ultimate professional. And I had her on because I just want you to know that no matter what your personality and your personal brand and what you like is, you can be that and you should be that. Isn't it time that we just started completely being ourselves? Stop worrying about everybody else judging and just be unapologetically us. So I hope you enjoyed the show. Definitely go check the show notes. Go check out Heather. If you need any kind of business help or accounting, she is phenomenal. And if you or somebody that you know is feeling lonely or sad, I have a new program called Jen's Friends. Go to jenhardy.net/friends and sign up. It's a daily video email. And every morning, my friends and I come into your inbox. We tell you how loved and supported and special and amazing you are, because every woman needs to hear that every single day. And I am so excited to bring you that message, because you are loved and you are incredibly special. And I am so glad that I have you in my life. Thank you for taking the time to be with me. I know your time is the most valuable thing you have, and it makes me feel so special that you are spending it here. So have an incredible week. Stay tuned and stay fabulous.